It's a future Sunday morning. Seems to be a Sunday morning just like any other Sunday morning. You come to church. And before the service begins, maybe while the praise team is singing, maybe during the prelude, maybe just a tad after the service starts, a grubby, dirty, unkept person comes through that door. They're ushered down the aisle, and there's a spot right next to you available. Is it already going through your mind how you'd feel? That's what James is talking about here. James, in this letter, is sometimes considered wisdom writings. Because what James talks about to that first century church is just as vital and alive in its principles to the church today. And what he's really telling us is when that person comes through the door, and one day it will happen, and when it happens, I hope our ushers make a big deal over that person. I hope we bend over backwards to make them feel like they're the most important person present here, because that is what we're called to be as God's people. And it goes against the grain, doesn't it? I mean, we'll work to walk the other side of the sidewalk or go down another aisle in the parking lot to avoid a person like that. But Jesus died for them. And maybe especially because they're alone and dirty and unkept. Maybe they're just coming in to get out of the heat or the cold. James is sharing what he called the royal law. And even though he refers to the Torah, the commandments of God, he's not talking about the Hebrew Torah or law. He is talking about the law of the new kingdom, the law of the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. A law that helps us put away our favoritism, put away our little cliques and groups in the life of the church, and open ourselves up fully, and especially open ourselves up to the stranger and to the poor and to the needy, and make them feel welcome. That's being a doer of the word. And you see, we started this journey last week when James asked or stated, but be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. See, he's telling us that to come and listen is not enough. We have got to become a living word in the world today. We need to be vitally alive. We need to be acting out our convictions, not just holding them, not just talking about them, but acting them out in the world. That's what God did in Christ Jesus. A divine drama where the very Word of God became flesh in the world and acted out the love of God so there could be no doubt that God loves us, that He cares for us, that He comes to us where we are, where we live every day. God doesn't just come to church on Sunday or when we have a meeting. God is present to us every moment of every day. And James, the brother of Christ, one of the brothers that didn't at first believe that this was the Messiah. My goodness, this is my brother. He's not a Messiah. He's not the Christ. I mean, believe me, I know him. He grew up in our house. They had trouble with that. But he became one of the early leaders of the first century Jerusalem church. And he's translating for his hearers the Torah, the law of the Jews, into what he calls the law of liberality, the law of freedom that is ours in Christ Jesus. That you didn't have to be a rabbi to be holy. You didn't have to be a priest that ministered in the sanctuary or in the Holy of Holies. That we are all called to be a living word. That our actions are not supposed to contradict our identity in Christ Jesus, and yet they so often do. That was what was happening in this early church. James is saying that you cannot disconnect faith in what you believe from works of faith that demonstrate that belief. Now, old Martin Luther, who believed in saved by faith and faith alone, had a hard time with old James here. And unfortunately, in the Protestant tradition, we don't spend much time on James, and that's precisely why I'm doing it. Because it goes against what we've always heard, that we're saved by faith alone. Because the Catholic Church got into trouble years ago in works being the way you get to heaven. If you just do certain things, you guaranteed yourself into heaven. It got so bad that if you owned or possessed a relic, that did magical things for you. So Luther, rebelling against that, did what we often do in the expression, threw out the baby with the bathwater. That faith that's not lived out is pretty useless faith. Faith that does not demonstrate itself in actions is a faith not believing in, worth believing in. And if we have faith, then people are going to see works of faith that demonstrate what we believe. What do people know about you and your faith by your works? I had the privilege yesterday of meeting, felt like I already knew her, meeting John's adopted mom in Charlotte. She is the wife of one of his hunting buddies, but that family just opened up their arms and made John a part of the family. She also happens to be the executive secretary to the regional director of that company. So she's right there in the plant with John, where that director has his offices. And, you know, John would walk in one morning and there are 5 shirts on his desk. She went shopping for her husband, saw such good deals on shirts that she brought back 5 shirts for John. And it was such a joy to hug this woman who has so loved and nurtured my son 150 miles away. And as we were sharing at the restaurant after the service, I was humbled by the fact that she came up and hugged me one more time before we got ready to leave. And she said, although I'm not sure it's so true, she says, "I now see where John gets his loving nature." And I told her, I said, "Well, John's a lot more loving as a person than I am. He has a much sweeter nature by birth than I do." But it felt good to hear those words from a person I'd been around just 2, maybe 3 hours. Even if it wasn't all that accurate, that maybe I had done a little something that said something about who I am, at least who I want to be. What are you saying about your faith, about what you do, how you live in the world? Are people getting a higher opinion of you than, you know, in your heart you really deserve before the Lord? But you know, that's a good thing for the life of the church, because we're living out something that people want to experience. James tells us that if we become judges of one another, and we do it all of the time, I mean, his specific illustration here is about how people dress, and we judge people in the life of the church between who dress well and who dress poorly. We judge between those who are more sophisticated and those who are a little more crude. We judge between those who are educated and those who appear to be ignorant. We judge between those who are popular and those who are kind of outcast on the extremities. We judge between those who are white and those who are people of color. But Jesus didn't judge that way. He gave his life for all of those people, and especially for the poorly dressed, the crude, the ignorant, the outcast, the unpopular. Why? Maybe his was the only love they had. He died for us all. And James tells us, let's don't judge one another. We live by the royal law of love. And if we break that law, we might as well have murdered or stolen or committed adultery, because he says, if you break one law, you've broken them all, because you've dishonored the lawgiver. Let us live by the royal law of love. Let us become a living word in the world today, because the word became flesh, gave himself to us. And this morning he gives himself to us again in Holy Communion. And although when the ushers come down the aisle and bring those elements and I place them on the altar, by the time we have finished praying, they are transformed from a symbol into the real body and blood of Christ. It's a mystery. I didn't say the literal body and blood of Christ, but I said the real. John Wesley says, when we take those elements, Christ is more real than any other time in our lives. Become a living word and receive that mystery from the word become flesh, that we live by the royal law of love. Let us pray. Gracious Father, pour out your blessings upon us. May we live according to the living word. May we be a living word. For you live within us through Christ our Lord. Amen.